soundingthealarm.com. Warning, the events and issues of this broadcast are real and eternal.
This is Trevor Davis, sounding the alarm on September 1st, 2014. Today I'm going to talk about something that affects most people in the world today. And it's the story and reality of Cain. All the way back to the story in Genesis chapter 4. What was his problem? He had a very serious problem. Of course, most people realize that Cain murdered his brother Abel. But let's read the story. Genesis chapter 4. And Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why are you wroth, and why is your countenance fallen? And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother, and slew him. Verse 9, And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel your brother? And he said, I know not, am I my brother's keeper? And Cain said unto the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear. And the Lord said unto him, Therefore whosoever slays Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord, and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. And it goes on from there. Yeah, Cain had a serious problem. But I want you to notice something, because Cain and the way of Cain is talked about in the New Testament, and we're going to read those verses. So it's very important that we understand Cain and what his dilemma and problem was. It wasn't just the fact that he murdered his brother. That was the result or the fruit of who he was and what he was. And this is what the scripture is saying here about Cain. In verse 5, But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. God had not respect to Cain and his offering. And Cain was angry about it, and his face, his countenance fell. So he goes out and murders his brother, because what he was doing wasn't accepted by God. It was considered evil, as we'll hear later in verses, and killed his brother. Because his deeds were evil, he hated his brother who was offering a godly sacrifice that was accepted, a better sacrifice. It actually spoke of things to come, Jesus. I want you to note that Cain was a tiller of the ground, out of the earth. Adam and Eve, though they were in the image and likeness of God, they were out of the earth and were earthly. And the devil came unto them, and he was the murderer from the beginning, because he deceived them by cunning, craftiness, by subtlety. He deceived Eve, he deceived Adam, and they partook of the tree in the midst of the garden that God said, you shall not do, lest you die. And they did die, because the wages of sin is death. Therefore, the serpent is a murderer, and Cain is likened to be of that wicked one, because he's a murderer. But Cain was offering to God, out of his own character, out of his own nature, what he thought was good, and it was out of the earth, and God looked at him and looked away. When this is the word, did not respect. It did not please the Lord, and he looked away with disgust. His brother, Abel, was a caretaker of sheep. And he offered sacrifice to the Lord, and the Lord was honored and pleased. Let's go into some other texts. Hebrews 11:4 says, "By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it, he being dead yet speaketh." Isn't that interesting? 1 John 3:12, "Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous." We need to understand this today. As we walk around as disciples of Jesus, we are righteous in Christ. We are the righteousness of God because God is our righteousness. We're righteous by faith, the Lord Jesus being our righteousness. And we walk in pleasingness to him, where he is blessed by us because we're in his son Jesus. But there's what Jesus said is, "Marvel not that the world hates you." Why would they hate you? Why would the world hate Christians when we're walking as sons of God and blessing them that curse us, doing good to those that hate us, praying for those that abuse us? Why would they hate us? It's the Cain and Abel dynamic in operation. And there are people that are after the Cain. There are people that have gone the way of Cain. And it's who they are, what they are, is Cain. And it's not accepted by God. And we're going to read that. It's people that are in the flesh. They that are in the flesh cannot please God. They're not in faith. It's impossible without faith to please God. To see how serious this is? And there's lots of religious people who are not regenerated people. They're not born again. They're still living out of Adam, out of the earth. They're natural people. But they're religious. And they're out of their own nature. They're doing things they think is good, and then they offer a sacrifice to God, and God despises it. It's unacceptable. In Jude 1:11, it says, "Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah." It's talking about false leaders, false ministries. Giving a lot of examples there in Jude. But do you see how it's a woe unto those that are going in the way of Cain? There's a lot to it, more than murder. Murder is just the fruit. It's who Cain is. It's what he is. It's what he represents. It's the way he thinks. Hebrews 12:28 says, "Wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire." That's in the New Testament. So there's a way to serve God, and there's a way not to serve God. And Adam's sons, Cain and Abel, show us that. Ephesians 2:10 says, "We are his," referring to God's workmanship. "We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them." These are works of faith. These are works that are directed by the Lord, because he speaks to us, we hear him, and we comply and we do what he says. This is what is righteousness, is hearing the Lord, hearing his word, hearing his command, and doing it. That's what pleases him. That's what Abel was like. Cain, not so. He just created things out of his imagination and brought it out of the earth. 1 Peter 2:5 says, "You also, as living, lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." I'm going to read that again. We're talking about a sacrifice that's accepted and a sacrifice that is not accepted. Cain's sacrifice was out of the earth, out of flesh, out of his head, out of his imagination, and it was unacceptable to God and is disdained. Abel's. It still speaks today about the righteousness of Abel, what he offered God, though he was murdered. 1 Peter 2:5, you also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Now here's something interesting. This is what Jesus was teaching in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Verse 26, and every one that hears these sayings of mine and does them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. I read this today because this is the problem about the religious people that are like Cain, that are going to work out of their flesh and offer it to God. God doesn't accept that. They're in sinful lives, and then they ask God to bless it afterwards. God is not going to accept that. And you take this foolish person that heard the sayings of Jesus, but doesn't do it. But he thinks in his head, I'd like to have a beach property. I'd like to build my house on the sand. Seems like a good idea. Something I want to do. Looks level. It's close to the beach. Yeah, I'll build a house on the sand. Let's talk about the earth, because this is what Cain was out of the earth. Christ is out of heaven. And this is what Jesus said in John chapter 3, marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. In 1 Corinthians 15:47, it says the first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. 1 Corinthians 15:48, as is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy, and as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. So you're patterned after what nature you're of. If you're of Adam, you're earthly, you're natural, you're carnal, you're fleshly, you cannot please God. Impossible. If you're out of Christ, you're born again, you're renewed by the regeneration of the Holy Spirit, you're washed, you're cleansed, and you have the fruit of Jesus Christ in your life. And you're pleasing to the Lord, and you offer spiritual sacrifices to God. 1 Corinthians 15:49 talks about the image of the, though we have the image of the earthy, we also shall bear the image of the heavenly in due time. But you must be born again. John chapter 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, he was talking to the Nicodemus, a Pharisee that came to him at night, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. That which is of Adam is Adam. That which is of Christ is of Christ. Marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it listeth, and you hear the sound thereof, but you cannot tell whence it comes and where it goes. So is everyone that's born of the Spirit. See, the natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit. They're foolish to him. So he's saying that they're in totally different dimensions. The natural man will never understand the spiritual man because they're thinking, living, acting, behaving, desiring completely different things. One is temporal, one is eternal. I share these things, ladies and gentlemen, because people are leaving Jesus and returning and going the way of Cain. And God is not pleased. He'll never be pleased with that. He cannot be pleased with that. In Philippians 3:19, it was talking about the enemies of the cross of Christ. It says, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. There's a wisdom that's of God, that's pure, peaceable, easy to entreat. It's so simple, so pure, without hypocrisy. But there's a carnality and debate and strife that this wisdom descends not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. That's James 3:15. I'm hoping you're hearing the Spirit of the Lord. I'm hoping you see the difference between Cain and Abel. Because there are many, many, many performing religious duty out of the way of Cain. They're offering things to God that he never ordered, never called for. And they're dead works. They're not acceptable. They're not in Jesus Christ. They're not of faith. They're dead. All the works that will be tried by fire. There's gold and silver, and there's wood, hay, and stubble. In Hebrews 6, verse 1, it says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, maturity, fullness, depths in Christ, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, and of faith towards God. And it moves on to several other major principles. But the first principle is repentance from dead works. Because that's what you do before you're in Christ. Is the works you do come out of your head, out of your nature, the way of Cain. And it's not acceptable to God. He has no respect. Hebrews 9:14, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? So praise the Lord. God loves you. He called you into his kingdom. And he's provided Jesus Christ to be both the chief priest and the sacrifice through his own blood. That we are redeemed not of silver and gold and other vain things for tradition of the Jews, but by the precious blood of the Lamb. We're redeemed to God, and we're born again. We can be born again from above and have our flesh, all that Adamic and Cain nature, the way of Cain, it can be crucified and buried. And we can be quickened by the power of the Holy Spirit and walk in newness of life for the glory of God our Father, who loves us. For Jesus' sake, he's forgiven us. But this is the truth, ladies and gentlemen. The temple of God is not made by hands. It's not on the corner. It's in people that believe in Jesus. Serve God acceptably. Make him delight in your offerings. Let it be a sweet-smelling savor.
Stay tuned for To The Point Report with Trevor Davis. RealtyReportNetwork.com.
And this is To The Point Report with Trevor Davis on August 26, 2015, a week of great volatility in international financial markets, especially the United States stock market, the Dow Jones Industrial Average. That on Monday this week, August 24, 2015, recorded the largest decline intraday in the stock market in world history, ladies and gentlemen. That's right. That what took place on this last Monday was historical, was incomprehensible what took place, breaking through barriers in the price regions on the stock market. Look at the charts, and let's take a look at the charts today and what is being reported. CNBC reports U.S. stocks shot higher on Wednesday, today, August 26, 2015, rebounding from six consecutive days of declines that pushed the major averages into correction territory, it states. In addition to an oversold bounce, some analysts also attributed the gains to comments from the Fed's William Dudley that a September rate hike looks less compelling, quote, and a strong durable goods report. The major averages closed about 4% higher for their best day since 2011, with the S&P 500 rising out of correction territory. The index fell into correction during Monday's sell-off. Among the 10 S&P 500 sectors, tech, financials, healthcare, consumer, discretionary, and staples are all out of correction territory. The companies in the index gained about $640 billion in market capitalization on Wednesday, but have still lost $268 billion in capitalization this week and are down $1.3 trillion over the last week and a half. NASDAQ Composite closed on the edge of a correction, up 4.2% on the day. The Dow Jones Industrial Average remains in correction territory. Gains accelerated into the close, with the Dow Jones Industrial Average ending up about 620 points after rising as much as 637 points. Another story. Now, listen closely to this one. Bloomberg Business reports art collectors were busy looking for liquidity during market rout, quote, August 25, 2015. Art dealers Osher Adelman's vacation in Comporta, Portugal, was interrupted Monday by inquiries from clients as global equities plunged. Some asked about borrowing against their art collections from Adelman's art financing company. Others wanted to sell works. Everyone was looking for the same thing, liquidity. There are many margin calls, Edelman said in a phone interview, adding that no deals were struck yet. We're looking at a picture of a Picasso piece of art called Les Femmes d'Alger. It was sold for a record $179.4 million. Notice this, ladies and gentlemen, in times of crash, they were going to sell looking for liquidity, looking for cash. This is what causes things to plummet, and the domino and the correlation effect to other aspects that must be sold to maintain margin calls, artworks, there'll be real estate holdings. There'll be many things that go into a pandemic sale when they're looking for liquidity. Boutique lenders said they were unusually busy in late August when most of the art world is on holiday. Global equities and the art market have become intertwined as art prices have soared and more wealthy buyers view their collection as an investment they can borrow against. Quote, 10 years ago, no one in the art market paid close attention to these collections in the stock market, said Elizabeth von Habsburg, managing director of Winston Art Group, an independent art appraisal and advisory firm. Now clients respond immediately. In 2014, the art market surpassed its pre-recession high with 51.2 billion euros, that's equivalent to 54.1 billion in US dollars, in global sales compared with 48 billion euros in 2007, according to the latest figures by the European Fine Art Foundation. In May, a Pablo Picasso painting fetched 179.4 million, the highest price ever for a work at auction. Another story reports today from Yahoo.com. The CDC, the Center for Disease Control, states Miami, an unusually high number of cases of human plague have been recorded by U.S. health authorities since April 11 in all, with all three of them fatal, officials said Tuesday. It's unclear why the number of cases in 2015 is higher than usual, the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention said. The CDC said that having 11 cases in just the past 4 months is unusual. During 2001-2012, the annual number of human plague cases reported in the United States ranged from 1 to 17, the agency said in a statement. The median number of annual plague cases across the past decade has been 3. Plague is a rare and dangerous disease that is caused by bacterium known as Yersinia pestis that circulates in wild rodents and their fleas. People can get the plague if they are bitten by an infected area or if they come in close contact with an infected person or animal, including cats and dogs, health authorities said. This year's cases originated in the western United States, with 4 cases in Colorado and 2 each in Arizona, New Mexico, and California. Another infection took place in Oregon. One of the California infections was of a resident of the southeastern state of Georgia who later returned to their home state. The 2 cases in Georgia and California residents have been linked to exposures at or near Yosemite National Park in the southern Sierra Nevada mountains of California, the CDC said. I'm Trevor Davis, RealtyReportNetwork.com. RealtyReportNetwork.com. And this is Trevor Davis with Realty Report Network. Just a few comments about the recent experience in the financial global markets regarding real estate and investing. And I'm issuing a warning, and today is August 26, 2015. I'm issuing a warning. Whether you're an investor or not investor, whether you're a nice person or not a nice person, the warning is going forth that this is catastrophic economic woes that is taking place since August 11, 2015. Most of us know that the global markets will change and collapse, and there's insurmountable debt. There are derivative financials that are not regulated with great surmountable values there that are not regulated. No one really knows what will happen when the next shoe drops, they have said. No one really knows how bad it will be. And an advisor to ex-prime minister of the United Kingdom, which was a man involved with the Treasury of the United Kingdom, warned about these recent days of the decline of the stock markets on a global scale. He warned that you should buy canned goods, you should have water, that you should have arrangements with your family members where to meet if you couldn't leave your house. And people made fun of that kind of, but that's the kind of thing, ladies and gentlemen. A man that is wise looks on the horizon and foresees the danger and hides himself and gets in position and takes action. Most people will mock this kind of thing. But being prepared is always better than being unprepared. And this man, this advisor to ex-Prime Minister Gordon Brown, also said, now listen, this is a man in the know. He said that the next crisis will be 20 times worse than what took place in 2008-2009. When the great wave crested over all the world, and when liquidity stopped, and when lending came to a stop, and when the United States, with the plan called TARP, took in excess of, in the 20s, $27 trillion, with a T, and gave it to bankers and professionals worldwide to keep things afloat. Ladies and gentlemen, these are issues that you must take note, that you should seek counsel, and you should evaluate the counsel you get. I'm urging you to not ignore that on August 26, 2015, a Monday morning, with the stock market decline, was a historic drop in the stock market, unprecedented. It had never dropped that much, ever, ever, ever. And do not ignore that. Even though today, on Wednesday, the 26th, they've had a bounce. What the general public does not understand, you can make just as much money when the markets fall by shorting as you can when they rise by buying and holding. Smart money positions and sells on the bounces. Get your counsel. Evaluate the horizon. Evaluate your interests. And if you're in real estate, whether you're buying or whether you're selling or what you should invest, but consider that these things are unprecedented. It's like a ship that has struck the iceberg and waters are coming on board. Put on your preserver because the ship is going down. This is not a time to ignore what has taken place. It's Trevor Davis signing out. This has been a production of RealtyReportNetwork.com with Trevor Davis.
We hope you find this broadcast helpful. To contact Trevor Davis, go to RealtyReportNetwork.com or call 866-536-4605.